Open up your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 40, 31. And I was praying about, just really thinking about what the Lord has to really share this morning. And those who share the Word many times are praying to God, and they really get revelation about what God wants to share. But for the past few weeks, I was getting absolutely zilch about what to share. I mean, I was getting absolutely nothing. Bumpkus, whatever you want to call it. I mean, nothing was coming to me until I started walking the other day before the storm came. I walked about an hour, and God was really sharing to me about the word waiting. I've been hearing over and over on the radio about the song about waiting. Waiting. I'm not going to start singing because it would be a mass exodus. But going on, but if you look at verses Isaiah 40, 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, the last time I shared about the treadmill of life, and one of the things we talked about was checking your foundation to make sure that you are planted on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. That one, you're using the right equipment, that you're identifying with Jesus Christ. We talked about that a little bit, about that at the men's advance yesterday, about identifying with Jesus Christ. And, Jeff, I know you're not this tall. But you're identifying with Jesus Christ. And the last thing was following the directions, really following the Word of God, encouraging others, as we talked about the pathway class, or really coming into the Word of God, understanding it. And since that time, you might have checked all those areas. You might have understood them and really tried to feel, okay, is my foundation solid? But maybe you're not feeling right now that things just aren't happening the way you think they should be happening. It's not happening in the right frame of mind. It's not happening quickly enough. And I know Dan talked about last week about the law of grace in terms of that. And I look at that, and I look at grace, and I look at the fruits of the Spirit that come about. And God gives us that fruit of patience. If you look at Galatians 5, 22 to 24, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's patience, and it's kindness, and it's goodness, and it's faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That those who belong to Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. They crucify that sinful nature with its passions and desires. But as I look at that verse back in Isaiah 40, 31, so what does it mean to wait? What does it mean to wait, to have patience before God? What does it mean for you to wait? I look at four areas in that area. It says, the one thing I look about is that when you wait on God, the key phrase here is you're waiting on God. Those who wait on the Lord. You're not waiting on anybody else. You're waiting on God Himself. You're waiting on God Himself. As Alfred and Jackie shared a little bit, there was a waiting process that had to take place in their own life to wait for some things to happen in their life. They couldn't manufacture what was going to go on. They couldn't make sure what was going on. You had to wait on God. You had to wait on God. Wait for God to move. Wait for God to move. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "What?" But I'm going to ask the question, what is the purpose of waiting on God? Why do you want to wait on God? Why do you want to wait on God? We have to ask that question every day of our life. Why am I waiting on God? Why can't I just do it? Why can't I just move forward myself? Why do I have to wait on God? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." You know, I want to wait on the person who's going to make sure it's right in my life. I'm going to make sure that things are doing right in my life, because what God's doing in my life is very important compared to what somebody else might be doing in my life. We worry about waiting. We worry about the patience. Are you a patient person when it comes to doing things? I think one of the things that God's calling us to wait on Him for is that He's calling us He wants to develop our character. He wants to test and refine us. He wants to test and refine you. He's waiting for peace to happen in your life. To have peace happen in your life. One other thing that God wants to do here is He wants us to receive His power. That to renew their strength, to receive His power. As we wait on God, we're receiving His power. It says on Acts 1, verses 4 through 8, it says, on one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, and that you heard Me speak about. Wait. For John baptized with water, but in a few days he'll be baptized with the Spirit. It's a commercial for next week that we're going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Pathway class. We're going to be talking about laying on of hands. I said, we're laying on of hands. But we're really going to be talking about that. But we want to talk about what it means being baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked Him, Lord, are You going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. Waiting. God has His timing for each one of our lives. The timing is there. It is God's timing that we need to wait for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. But you will receive power when we have that Holy Spirit come upon our life. How many of us want that power of God to resonate in our life today? The power of God to feel that confidence to be able to move forward. But many times when we go forward, we're waiting and we're in trepidation because we're not sure that we're going the right way. We don't have that confidence to go, to move forward. But God says, and then even the disciples He was talking about, you will not have that confidence until you receive the power, but you need to wait for the Holy Spirit because it's not going to be your power. It says, not by My might, not by your spirit, but by My... Let me go back to what I'm saying. Amen. Amen. I get so excited, I go tongue-tied. My wife has to tell me to stop for now. But just think of the disciples proclaiming the Word of God without the power of God behind it. It's like a new Christian who comes so excited about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to convert everybody. But he doesn't have the power of Spirit in him to be able to do that. He's got to learn. He's got to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come forward and to move forward. And it says a part of the Lord is that our strength is being renewed. Our strength is being renewed when we wait upon the Spirit of God. Again, this is where I come back. Now we go back to that phrase. It's not by our might or our power, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. It's nothing I'm doing up here. It's nothing that we share up here. It's only by the Spirit of God that's going to resonate the Word of God in your heart. Another thing is that talked about the Word here. It says, we mount up with wings like eagles. One of my passions in my life is I like eagles. I like eagles. I have eagle displays in my office, at work, and at home. Even on my golf driver, I have an eagle head cover that my oldest son gave to me years and years ago. And I have lost that eagle head cover sometimes on the golf course. It's fallen off or whatever. I have to go back and search for it. Praise God, I still have it. But I said, why did the Lord put that phrase, have Isaiah put that phrase in the Scripture? Mount up with wings like eagles. So I went to many commentaries to find out the meaning, but I found one in the RCB commentary. What is the RCB commentary? It's Richard Charles Brown commentary. And it went like this. For just as an eagle can fly high and allow the wind to carry him, and he goes and floats and looks around the land and surveys the land and waits for the right moment for it to make its move, so we as believers need to wait patiently for the gentle wind of the Holy Spirit before we make our move. We've got to really understand what the Spirit is saying to each one of us before we make a move. Before we make that move in our lives. Because if we move too soon or too fast, we miss out. It's only by waiting for the Spirit of God will we make the right move. Then I look at the last two phrases of this verse. And it says, run and not be weary, walk and not faint, as persevering. It says, James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under the trials. Blessed is the man. Anna, pretty soon. How old are you now, Anna? 16. Oh, we're getting real close to persevering of getting your driver's license. And mom and dad are going to be waiting for you to start transporting all your kids every place else. And there's a perseverance that goes on as you try to parallel park and all these things that go on and different things. You're going to be waiting for that and the testing's going to be coming. Is my license, am I going to be approved for my license or whatever? And all of a sudden, when you go to ask dad, can I use the car? You're going to be waiting for his answer. And he's going to say, Annie, you got to put gas in the car. But you know, it's amazing of us. We persevere. And many of us today are going through trials in our lives. And we want deliverance right away. We want deliverance right away. But God is calling us to wait on Him for deliverance, not only on ourselves, but in others and in situations around. Sometimes God is doing a work in somebody else's life that we don't have the patience to wait to see what God's doing. Sometimes we don't have the patience to wait to what God's doing in our own life. And we want deliverance. And God's calling us to wait upon His Spirit. To wait upon His Spirit. Are we willing to wait? Are we willing to wait? Dan and Sylvia, are they going to be willing to wait for Anna to make a lot of mistakes in driving? Are they willing to wait for situations to happen? Allowing God to work through situations. I know in ministry many times we see people that are falling and they're basically in the gutter. And sometimes the worst thing to do is to pick somebody up out of the gutter. They've got to pick themselves up many times. Because they've got to learn. You've got to say, okay, what's God teaching them? What's God helping them to move forward? And the hardest thing to do is let somebody fail in order that God can succeed. And we have to wait for God's Word to be moving in that area. I know it was hard for us many times as our children were growing up to see them fail, to get a bad mark, but then they eventually succeeded because they were able to work through the situation. And we had to pray, God, let your Spirit move. Let your Spirit move. And sometimes we move before it's time. It's like being at a crosswalk and watching now all the crosswalks now have all these times that are out there. 10, 9, 8, whatever. And it's like watching a crosswalk count down the time. Count down the time, but before it hits one, we're walking across the street. And some car is coming bolting through because he's also seeing the same clock. He's seeing the same clock, and who's going to win? Do you ever do that in your life? Do you ever move forward before it needs? But there's also a danger of waiting too long for something. There's also a danger of waiting too long for something. We don't wait. Sometimes we don't wait enough, long enough, and we don't step out in faith and proceed. But sometimes we have to wait. Just sometimes plant the seed. You know, about waiting and in terms of not waiting. Sometimes you have to have some things that you really want and you really believe this is what God's calling you to do. And you've got to, you don't want to wait for it to happen. So you sort of go forward in this area. Well, let me share a story a little bit about my life and years ago when I was in college. I was dating this one person who was a very beautiful person, and I felt this person was the person for me to marry. Well, I wasn't going to wait. I wasn't going to wait, and I suggested that we might get married. This person has a little bit different interpretation of how what I said to her. And fortunately, she said yes. But I then had to wait 2.5 years in which to marry this person. I do not recommend that at all. Fortunately, this person is sitting right there in the front row, and we'll be married 39 years in August. But there are times where God's called you in faith to move. Let me show you some other examples about what it means to don't wait. Do not wait to forgive one another. Mark says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Many times, we'll say something, I'll forgive that person when they change. That'd be like, okay, Father, forgive me when I change. Do you want that to happen in our lives? Do not wait to forgive one another. Do not wait to love one another. Mark 12, 30 to 31 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Do not wait to love one another. God calls us to love each other with an unconditional love. God loves us unconditionally. He has not waited to love us. He did not wait to send His Son for each one of us to die, and for His Son to die for each one of us. He did not wait. We might have thought He was waiting, but it says in Scripture, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. He had His perfect timing of when it would happen. The next thing is, do not wait to share your testimony. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because of the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. I was listening to the radio the other day and I was hearing a story about Lefty Driesell. How many of you know who Lefty Driesell is? Three people. He was the Maryland basketball coach before Gary Williams, who was before Mark Turgeon. But he was sharing a story about how he went to a Baptist church in PG County. And he went to his basketball team and he says, okay guys, this is what we're going to do. We're all going to get together and we're all going to go to this Baptist retreat center and just be together and to have this time. And all the basketball teams said, no, you can't do that. Do that. You're going. Lefty Driesell was a Christian. He had a very much of a way of sharing his faith. It was interesting to me that how the basketball team, young men who went to this retreat center, stayed up to 3 or 4 in the morning asking the pastor of this church questions about the faith. And when it came back to the survey again about would they want to do it again, every one of them said, yes, I want to do it. They first regretted it. I mean, they first didn't want to fight it at the beginning, but then they wanted to come back. Lefty Driesell was not ashamed of sharing his faith. He shared his faith about, we make mistakes many times. He shared about Len Bias. Len Bias, if you don't know, was the Michael Jordan of that age. He was the LeBron. He would have been better than LeBron James is today. That's how much of powerful. But he was a believer, but he made a mistake. He didn't wait. He had some things happen in his life where he got cocaine. And he was killed because of that. He made a mistake. And Lefty talks about how the issue was there. But Lefty Driesell shared his faith. He did not wait to share his testimony. So how do we know, to answer the question, how do we know when it is to wait or when it is to don't wait? When it is to wait on the Lord and when it is to move forward in faith. A couple things is, we need to pray for direction to understand the mind of God. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours." We need to pray about these issues. We need to pray about these situations. We need to come before God and say, "God, what do you want? What do you want?" The second thing is, I think God's calling us is that we need to seek counsel from others. Godly counsel. One of the things that we talked about, even in the men's advance yesterday, was how men need to be gathering together, women need to be gathering together to seek godly counsel. Okay, what's the Lord saying to you? I shared a story about a guy years ago, not in this congregation today, but he calls me up and says, "Rick, I need to talk to you." And so we met at 5:30 in the morning for breakfast or whatever. Right on the work, he says, "Rick, I want to think about buying a house. What should I do?" I said, "Well, have you sought God?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, that's the first thing you need to do, is seek God, godly counsel." I think one of the things we have here is that if God's calling you to wait, you need to wait patiently before God. To wait patiently before God. And when God gives you an answer, you need to move on. You need to move forward and say, or you'll miss the blessing of what God wants to bestow upon you. When I felt that God called me to ask Sue to marry me, if I had waited, I might have missed the blessing that's been bestowed upon me for 40 some years. I include the time of engagement. I include that part too. But I would have missed that blessing. I would have missed that blessing. But I did have to wait in order to have that blessing fulfilled when we first got married. I had to wait. Our call many times is to walk. Our call to waiting is to walking by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 6:9. There's a puzzle in my office that sits up on my wall that my in-laws gave me years and years ago after I had had a heart surgery. They thought it'd be a great thing to go sit at a table to do this puzzle. It was a 1,000-piece puzzle. And this 1,000-piece puzzle was of an eagle. And there were a lot of other things in part of it. Now, you have to understand, when it comes to patience, I am not a patient person when it comes to puzzles. If a piece doesn't fit in the puzzle, it's going to be smashed into there. I'll try some other things. So anyway, part with the heart surgery, I can only sit for a few minutes at that particular time. And I would maybe put one piece in, then I let them go have their fun with it. But this whole puzzle got put together, and it's a beautiful puzzle. It's shaped like an eagle. It has all these things there. Gorgeous puzzle. 1,000-piece puzzle, except there's one thing. It's only a 999-piece puzzle. There's one piece missing. And we still have it framed there, and we still have it there. Still that one piece is missing. That might be the missing piece in your life right now. Maybe God has put the whole puzzle together. But there's that one piece missing that you're waiting for God to fulfill. That you're waiting for God to fulfill. And many times we have to continue searching. I believe we're going to find that piece sometime. If I had to make it up myself. But we're going to find that piece. I want to share just lyrics to a song that says, "This is while I'm waiting. says, I'm waiting on you, Lord, and I'm hopeful. I'm waiting on you, Lord. Though it's painful, but patiently I wait. How many times do you feel that's painful right now as you wait for something to happen in your life? I will move ahead, bold in confidence, taking every step in obedience. God calls us as we wait that we continue to pray. We don't give up. Those who mount on the wings of eagles shall renew their strength. There's a perseverance that goes along with that. We continually move on. We have the confidence. We can't give up. We can't move forward. There's a goal in sight. As a cross-country runner, there's a goal in sight. You can't give up it and halfway through to be able to go. Back up a little bit, just a quick story. When I was walking and really praying about this message, I am the furthest part away from my house. Praise God that God has given me rubber band ankles. Because I am walking and I was like a klutz. All of a sudden my ankle just went like this. Try to do that. It just went like that. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, I am the furthest part away. I have broken my ankle. Now, praise God, I have never broken an ankle before in my life. But I didn't know I had a phone call. I had to call Sue and said, I am here. But sometimes it's so painful that we have to keep persevering. And I kept moving forward. Even though the ankle hurt a little bit, I kept moving forward. And eventually, as I kept moving more and more, the ankle got better and better and better. And I was able to complete the 4-mile walk. But sometimes when we get hurt, we stop. And we said, I'm going to call somebody. But God's saying for you to keep moving forward. You're waiting for something to be healed, but you're waiting for somebody else to do it. And God's saying for you, as you're waiting on God to heal you, there might be a part of you that needs to be working forward, to keep moving forward, to persevering, to having the confidence to move forward. He says, listen what he says about in these words here. He says, while I am waiting, I will serve you. While I am waiting, I will worship you. While I am waiting, I will not faint. I'm running the race even while I wait. This guy's put the words what my heart's trying to share for each one of us today. Sharing for me himself, myself. You know, it's tough to wait. Like as when children are being born, it's tough. Probably tougher on the dad than it is for the woman, because they know it's coming. They know it's coming. The fathers don't know what's coming. They know the wife, the mother knows that it's coming, it's coming. And the father's saying, not yet, not yet. But you're sitting there for hours and you're not sure. And I know for many of us, for many times in the waiting, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, 9.5 months, the waiting. When Anna starts driving, Dan and Sylvie be waiting for her to come home with that car safe and sound. The waiting. It's a difficult process. But it goes back to the verse again. Those who wait on the Lord. That's our phrase here. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. The disciples needed to wait on the Spirit of God for them to receive the Spirit so they might have power. That the power of the Spirit to heal people, the power of the Spirit to be able to share the words of God. They shall renew their strength. Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I know in some scriptures it says they will walk. But I like the thing of shall. I've got the English teacher over here to correct me if I'm wrong. But the as I look at shall, it's that present tense of really today. It's not tomorrow, it's today. They shall walk. They shall walk. We will walk today. We will, as we wait upon the Lord, we will succeed today. We're not worried about tomorrow, but we will succeed today if we wait upon God. And we have the confidence to be able to forward to, because if God is for us, who can be against us, as we sang earlier? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Let's just pray. Father, Lord God, we thank you today, Father, that you are the eagle in our life, Lord God. That, Father, as you soar and you bless us with your Holy Spirit, Father, Lord God, we come to wait upon you, to wait upon your word, Lord God, in each one of our lives, Father. To wait with a confidence, Father, Lord God, that you will show us what it means. And that, Father, as we wait, Father, Lord God, help us also to give the faith, Father, Lord God, to move on. When you call us, Father, Lord God, now's the time. The waiting is over. Now's the time to move forward. Help us to walk in faith in that area. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Amen.